Hey friends, have you been struggling with mood swings? Like getting really irritated by the simplest things? Personally, every time I watch my husband put a dish in the dishwasher, it just inexplicably drives me crazy, which is not normal for me. I'm just curious, do you feel like your hormones could be out of whack? Like you haven't been sleeping well, been stressing a lot, craving foods you are not used to craving as much, or even your skin, your hair, and your muscles, do they feel different? Well, let's talk about a game-changing mineral that can help you feel your best, magnesium. Magnesium is an absolute must for keeping your hormones balanced and your body functioning optimally. But here's the thing, most of us aren't getting nearly enough from our diets alone. And when you're deficient in this vital mineral, it can throw your entire system out of sync. In addition to hundreds of other chemical reactions, magnesium also plays a vital role in hormonal balance, glucose metabolism, and managing symptoms across different stages of life. This makes magnesium supplementation a great support for all ages. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about the Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. This unique formula contains 7 different forms of highly bioavailable magnesium, including magnesium orotate, which is amazing for metabolic and hormonal health. It can also support your hormonal health by supporting sleep, digestive health, stress management. So nourish your brain and body with Magnesium Breakthrough now. For an exclusive offer, go to www.biomebreakthrough.com/radicallyloved. And use promo code RADICALLYLOVED15 during checkout to save 15%. If you subscribe, not only will you get amazing discounts and free gifts, you will make sure your monthly supply is guaranteed. Check it out at www.biomebreakthrough.com/radicallyloved.
I was not gonna go there, but I will.
Let's do it.
Women my age. Forget it. Of course, it's not sexy to say I have 50 or 52. I think it's super sexy to be 52 and feeling like I feel. I don't know how I look, but I feel super bien.
You look hot.
You know what I mean? It's like, Why is not sexy for you, asshole?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to your approval. So it's not sexy being menopausica. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, but I am. And I tell it out loud. Always. Yes, I say it out loud, my age, and then I'm in. Please open the doors because I'm having hot flashes. Anybody has a problem with that? Sorry.
Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are. Because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea, or hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well.
Hello, welcome back to the Radically Well podcast. I don't really have words for how to announce this guest, so I'm just going to go right out there and say it because we have a prolific guest. If special doesn't even really, it's not the right word. Kate Del Castillo is beyond special. She is a Mexican-American actress. At the age of 19, Del Castillo became known for her lead role in the telenovela Muchachitas for Televisa in 1991. And after that, she continued her career in film and television in Latin America, playing the lead roles in telenovelas, including Alguna Vez Tendremos Alas, La Mentira, Ramona, Bajo la Misma Piel, and
the, I always say this word wrong, famosísima.
Sí, qué bien, Tessa.
La Reina del Sur. And I feel like that needs a drum roll along with it. Yeah. I mean, and you got to sit there with her live in the flesh.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was amazing. Kate has been, obviously, like we've talked about this, but she's been such an icon for so long, for so many years. And I feel, you know, people may know her. They've seen her in shows like Reina del Sur or The Cleaning Lady, which is out now, their newest season. And she has had such an incredibly rich career. I grew up watching her novelas. You know, I talk about it in the episode, in our conversation. She is just a beautiful woman inside and out. She is probably, I think, one of the most talented actresses of our time. Mm-hmm. She has, in my opinion, created so many pathways for women, especially women in the entertainment world of entertainment. And she's been going through a health journey herself, as many of us do. And I follow her on Instagram, and we do share a very mutual friend, which a friend that we also share, Leopoldo Gaut, who is a dear, dear friend who we both know. And he's also friends with Kate, and he connected us because I was just so moved by her dedication and her commitment to health and her journey. And she's just badass.
She is so badass.
Like, she is such a badass. And I took the chance of just, you know, reaching out and connecting with her and, you know, telling her kind of like what we're doing and the conversations that we're having. And she couldn't be more supportive and genuine and willing to be on the show. And I'm just so still in shock that I was able to have this conversation with her, because so many women, especially women in entertainment, it's a taboo topic to talk about menopause still. It's a taboo topic to talk about aging. And I wanted to talk to her about it. I wanted to get her opinion, and I wanted her to just share her experience of what it's like to be a woman in Hollywood, a woman who is an artist. And she had so much to share. And what I took away from this conversation was not only a deep sense of gratitude for her and the work that she's done, but also a renewed sense of empowerment. Because I could see her, even where she is now, she's still determined. She's still a hard worker. She's still excited about creating and telling stories. She's such an incredible storyteller. And so, yeah, I mean, words cannot describe. But before we go into this episode, I wanted to share with all of you that we have created a space. After the last couple of weeks since launching this podcast, I was inspired to create a space for women who are going through the same things that Tess and I've gone through. Tess is going through. Women who are at that stage in their life. Some would call it midlife. I call it a saging time. And are looking for a space of like-minded individuals. I created that space, and it's going to launch here in a week, and I'm really excited. So if you're curious and you want to see what it's all about, you can either go to the link below. If you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're listening to this, just go to the show notes and sign up to get on the wait list, or you can sign up and get a free ebook on 5 habits to create a better health, especially at this stage of your life. So check it out. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Kate del Castillo.
What's interesting to me, I think what was the most interesting was
ever since going through this, there's been so many women that I've talked to that have gone through something similar, spending thousands of dollars at a doctor's office or with the doctor and still not getting any answers and feeling like, especially with this topic of perimenopause and menopause, like people don't talk about it. You know, I had a friend tell me, my friend's husband, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this and I was like, yeah, I'm really excited right now because this project, this new show that I'm doing is all about, like, I just want to focus on women's health, you know, like I want us to have these conversations and be open about it and feel like we can have a safe place because a lot of these things, like, we don't talk about, you know, it's like there's so much shame around even the topic of menopause. And he goes, he's an agent, by the way, at a 3-letter agency here in Hollywood. And he was like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Like, don't, I wouldn't do that. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, like menopause isn't sexy. He's like, I'm sorry to say, but it's not sexy. And I was like, okay.
Let me tell you, I mean, I've been going through a lot of stuff. It's been almost, let's say, the first time that I got it, I'm talking about vertigo and tinnitus. I've never in my entire career, I've been an actress for, I'm 52. I think I started when I was 9. So I've been, so now you know how my career's been for a long time. I've never had to cancel day of work. I had to cancel. I was shooting last year in Albuquerque, the same series I'm doing right now, The Cleaning Lady. And I literally, it was so severe that I couldn't even get off the bed without falling. So I had to crawl to the bathroom for a week and a half. I couldn't walk without touching, like I was blind, but not only like I was blind, is that everything's spinning around. It wouldn't go away. It was steady for a week and a half. The whole thing lasted, I don't know how many weeks, but that severe that I couldn't even go to work was so bad. I did everything. Ya quería ir con una bruja. Like you have no idea. Like literally, like I would do everything to get, because I was so scared because I've never had it before. I had it a year before that. It was just a different kind of vertigo in a way that it was about the crystals inside, you know, those crystals mm-hmm, in the mm-hmm. ear
yeah.
that they get go off for some, I don't know, out of place. So I would lay down and I turn and my eyes will go like that, you know, very fast. And then they will stop. So it was kind of weird, but for some reason, I was not scared. I would never get that dizzy or the spinning that bad that I couldn't even walk or drive or whatever. So after that, I got scared. And then they came back really bad, this one that I just talked about. And so I started, you know, because now it's affecting my life. It's affecting my career. It's affecting, can you imagine, some millions of dollars yeah. are spent in a production. Like that. So they cannot, they thank God they could wait for me. But, you know, sometimes they say no because yeah. they just can't. So for me, it was really bad. And it's a dark moment in my life as an actor and as a woman, because nobody knows how, nobody tells me anything about vertigo. Nobody knows. They know this might trigger it. This other might trigger it, but you don't know. Because it's been different periods of time in the 3 times that I've gotten the vertigo, it's been just very different one from the other. Mm-hmm. So weird.
Yeah.
So I went, of course, with this Institute of Vertigo and no sé qué, you know, after, I mean, I even did something with my jaw because they said it was out of place because it was hurting. It got blocked sometimes. It just cracked. So I was having a lot of pain. So that's why, you know, the vertigo is coming. This, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it can make sense, you know? So I went with this dentist that is a specialist in jaw after $10,000 only for that. After I don't know how many other thousands and thousands of dollars because because they don't, the insurance doesn't cover that. Covers a little bit here and there. I have to go to the chiropractor because my cervix is just off and that might be triggering it. So, and they don't pay for that. So I'm like, this is crazy. And if I need, you know, something, some medicine, it's just, I have to go through so much. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather go to Mexico. I'm not kidding. We have amazing doctors in Mexico. Amazing. And they, here they're very conservative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In Mexico, they go for it and they take you off the, whatever you have.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, you know, generally.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I mean, if you have cancer, you have cancer, you know, what I'm saying is that they're more radical, you know, and they want to take you off your pain.
Yeah.
And here it's just so much and you have to go through so many doctors to get to someone that might tell you what's going on. For me, I'm having hot flashes. But I'm 52. I am like super late.
But when does it, it's different, you know, it's different for different women, you know, it's like my mom didn't start until she was 53.
Well, you know, I think it might be something because I've never been pregnant. I've never wanted kids, never in my life.
Let's talk about this.
Yes, of course. So I think your body, when you get pregnant, there's something that's going on inside of your body. I mean, that's it. And probably that's why my menopause was so late. I don't have any mood changes or nothing. A little bit, my hair, I think it's falling a little bit or probably thinner in a way, but only the hot flashes. They're killing me. They are killing me. I want to put my face inside the freezer sometimes. That is it. For nothing, I just start sweating like a cow.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, but other than that, it's good. And I don't know if it's gone or if it's, I'm still in it. I just know that I still have hot flashes, but I haven't had a period in 30 or 40 years. No, not 40, but 30 years because I started my first marriage. I have two. My first marriage, I got the
IUD.
IUD, yeah. The other day I said DUI, but you didn't put that into your vagina. So IUD.
Yeah.
IUD. So, and I don't know, this kind of IUD, it just, you don't get the period anymore. Yeah. So I haven't bought a tampon or anything in 30 years. So I don't know if it's gone or not.
Yeah. No? Yeah.
So I just try to go to my gynecologist and, you know, check my hormones and this and that. But everybody says everything is perfect. These horrible headaches, migraines. I did an MRI because I'm getting scared, you know, things that never happened before. Well, now I'm in the age that nunca me pasaba. Well, it's happening. Guess what? You know, and I totally get that, but I'm still scared, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the first, that period of the severe vertigo triggered my tinnitus. I've been over a year with tinnitus 24/7, super loud, super, it's just very agudo, you know, but it's steady. Like, I just wish that I have 5 minutes of silence. I don't know what silence is anymore.
Wow.
It's killing me. I want to jump out of the balcony sometimes. It's like, come on, give me a break. I cannot deal with this. This is too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And what, are you doing anything for it? Like, are you treating it at all?
There's no treatment. That's the thing. I've tried everything. I'm taking, you know, those supplements. And, you know, let's see if they work. I have no idea. I'm trying everything. I've tried everything. They checked everything. Everything's okay. Not that I want it not to be okay, but I need answers.
Yeah.
And nobody gives me any answers. And it's bothering me a lot.
That's the most frustrating part, I think, for me, too, when I went through, like, the beginning of the research, right? The experimenting. Is it this? Is it that? I got tinnitus, but it didn't last that long. I mean, it lasted a couple of weeks and it happened a couple of times in that same year. But like for me, the the hot flashes, you know, like just the spontaneous sweat. But I was never on any birth control or anything, you know, and which I found really, really interesting. That's a whole separate topic, you know, that we can talk about. But I think for me, when those symptoms started to come in, all of my hormones, everything was normal. You know, they're mm-hmm. saying, oh, this is normal. Everything's normal. Because from what I've found, the sort of gauge that the doctors are using, it's like you can score from 0 to 10. But if you score, you know, above 10, it's abnormal. But if you're right, even at nine and a half, like you're okay. But if an expert or somebody in the field of, like, let's say my gynecologist, right, when she looked at my same labs, she's like, no, you're going into perimenopause. Like, this is not, you know, normal. And so for me, I think it was getting the different opinions and going mm-hmm. to see and doing all the things. Kate, I was literally like, I'm going to the shaman. I'm going to the,
oh my God.
I'm going to the psychic. I'm like, somebody's doing everything, something to me. Everything. Like,
and
you
I
know?
Don't meditate. I'm sorry.
No, that's, Rose, don't apologize.
I don't meditate. I've tried.
Tell me why.
I've tried.
It's not your
when
thing.
When I was
talk
younger,
about it.
It's just, I can't do it. I just, my meditation is, I guess, kicking in and punching back. I don't know, you know, exercise like that. But I could never do it. And not that I don't believe in it. I totally believe in it because I've seen changes in a lot of people, you know, and you're just telling me you change your life. Just not for me, which I think it's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, we have different ways of, I don't know, meditate or not meditate, but different ways to relax or different. I'm an actress, so we know different kind of you know, exercises, breathing and yeah. this and that. It's a way of meditation, maybe.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that every woman is different. And doctors here, at least in my experience, they treat you all the same. And that's the thing. They don't give you the time for you to say this and that. And I'm not talking about, I have a flu, the flu. No. People with cancer, a good friend, very close friend of mine, is like that. And you know what she said? It's like, no, he only gives me like 10 minutes. And I'm like, your doctor? And like, yes, because of the insurance. And I'm because of the insurance. What does that has to do with anything? Yeah, the insurance people tell the doctors how much time they can spend with the patients. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. This is so fucked up. I mean, I know I come from a, you know, Mexico or whatever, and we say it's a no ser desarrollado, and it's a yeah. tercer mundista. Well, you know what? No. I am planning on buying something again in Mexico. And, you know, because I'm getting scared about this vertigo that I can't control and this tinnitus and something's going on with me lately. Something, I know it's age, but also there's something that, because I've been healthy my entire life. So now I'm like, maybe I should just buy something and get there 1 month and get me checked all over. But they don't do that in Mexico. So I think it's just really bad, the situation here,
yeah.
because they just want to make money.
Yeah. They just,
you're just another number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really impersonable. And for me, it's like, To see the care and even just in my experience, again, the last couple of years, even going through the miscarriages and going through that process, it was very like, well, it happens. You know, there's no support there. And it's like, I grew up with, you know, my abuelita, she was our caretaker, you know, yeah. and it's like, you get that kind of care in your life. And then you get, you know, going to the doctor and it's just kind of like you're just one of many that they're seeing every 10 minutes, every yeah. 15 minutes. And it's, to me, this was actually one of the big reasons why I even wanted to have conversations like this, because I feel like so many women, Kate, they won't even advocate for themselves, right? Like they won't, you're like, this is wrong. Something's happening. I need answers. You're actively seeking out answers. Mm-hmm. But most women, if they go to the doctor and they're like, oh, you're fine, they'll just go home and be like, okay, something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know? So one of the studies that was most mind-blowing to me is when I was, you know, studying or researching all the perimenopause and menopause stuff since going into early menopause, was the suicide rate for women ages 45 and 55 is like the highest, right? And I'm just like, why are we not doing anything about that? Like, why are we not having these conversations? Like, why is it that we're allowing just these statistics, first of all, to happen? Why are we allowing it? Mm-hmm. Second is, why are we not structuring a system where, especially for women, we're able to have these conversations with our doctors and have our doctor give us more than 10 minutes mm-hmm. so we can explain what's happening. So maybe they can give us some insight to what may be happening. But
that's why. So that's why they treat you like you're like we're all the same.
Yeah.
So they don't dig deeper in your health, in your past. Something, maybe something that happened, I don't know, 10 years ago might be bothering you right now. But if they don't know, if they don't give you the time to go back in your time, you know, answering questions here and there, there's no way they can help you.
Yeah.
Not with 10 minutes, not with half an hour. They need to sit you there and ask you the right questions. Because we know when something's wrong with us. We know. Only we know. And if you keep going and it's just money, 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 going to different doctors and they all say, no, everything's fine with you, then you get frustrated and it's like, and it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. Oh my God. Okay. Well, great conversation. I'm glad we started there. I do have some questions for you that I prepared.
Okay.
First of all, an icon is sitting right here. So let's just begin with that. Do you know that it was so interesting? I was telling my sister, I'm like, oh my God, Kate Del Castillo is coming to my house. I'm so excited. But we grew up with a Muchachitas poster on our wall.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Literally. So, okay, for those of you that are watching or you're new here, Muchachitas was, Kate, one of your first.
My first telenovela, yeah.
Your first, but not your first job.
Not my first job.
So it was Kate's first telenovela. And I mean, I don't know, like do you want to tell everybody what the premise of the telenovela was?
Well, it was the first telenovela. You know, Mexican telenovelas are huge. And they go,
they go forever.
Ahorita, right now. But right now I have people approach me, you know, Japanese people or let's say Asian people. But it was Japanese, the last one. And she's like, are you the girl from the telenovelas? And I'm like, yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. Why would you know? It's like, because I watch them, because I watch you speaking Japanese, and others is because I want to learn Spanish. And that's what our teachers, tell us to watch so we can have the slang and everything. And I'm like, this is crazy. But, you know, so for me, it's crazy because Muchachitas was the first telenovela about young girls, teenagers, and all the things that they go through and this and that. And we were four and we were the four protagonists. And then it was a hit, like a huge hit in Mexico and Latin America. So, yeah, that's the first one I did. But I did like movies in that.
Yeah.
In esa época, you know, they were, they're called video homes. So it was small movies, meaning movies that were shot in 2 weeks.
Oh.
And but they will sell like you have no idea. Like, pero all the icons, the Mexican icons, you know, Mario Almada, you know, Valentin Trujillo, all these guys, they were all, that's what they keep them alive.
Yeah.
And getting money, you know, the video homes. So I started doing a bunch of those. And I started in Video Exitos, like a host. And I did so many things when I was really young.
You've had such an extensive career in entertainment and obviously like doing the crossover too. Like you've done, you know, so many incredible movies too, like across the board. I think, you know, for, you know, somebody like me, like a young Hispanic girl, seeing somebody like you be able to have this like beautiful, extensive career in an industry that is male dominated, has been really inspiring to see, you know, and I feel like we should have more, right? Like there should be more and it should be bigger and it should be more celebrated. And I just don't know that that's the case right now, even in 2025.
It is not. I've been here for 24 years. I'm an American citizen now. I'm very proud and I became an American citizen because I didn't have to quit my Mexican citizenship. I would have never done that. But, you know, so I'm very happy to be here, very proud. I've done so many things that I could have not done probably in my own country, which is already sad. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to make the cross over. And it was also a moment in my life. I was just getting a divorce of my first husband because of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So it was really bad. I was very well known in Mexico. He was a huge football, soccer player. So, you know, the press was all over us. It was already embarrassing, the whole situation. Back then, Me Too didn't exist.
Yeah.
So women that we went through that, especially Latinas, you know, I'm not saying everybody, but Latina, you know how macho our countries are.
Yeah.
You know, so it was embarrassing. I didn't want anybody to be asking me to feel sorry for me or, you know, I hated it. So I decided to come here because of that in a moment. And also, of course, because I was already working here. It was a TV series for PBS called American Family. Yes. So that was my first job here ever.
Oh, it was.
Yes. Yes. And then I did a movie here called Bad Guys. Not by Bad Boys came with it. That's much different. It was a little movie called Bad Guys. And it was the first two things I did here in the United States. So the crossover, not only that, but I had to quit. I started everything again. You know, it's not easy to leave when you have everything to lose. Because sometimes you leave when you have nothing to lose. I had everything to lose because I was doing very well. I just was bored of the telenovelas. And not that there's anything wrong with telenovelas. I learned so much. I had so much fun. I met amazing people. I have this thing that I know how to get into crying or how to get into this like that, because that was the pacing that we needed. You know, they go really fast.
Yeah.
So it gave me a lot of tablas, you know, and that's, I think I still have them with me, but the crossover for me was, and I think still is, not only being here in America, in the United States, let's say the United States, because we're all Americans. yes. But in the United States, I think the real crossover is in your heart. And it's geographic. It's not geographical. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because for me, La Reina del Sur, that was a massive hit. For me, that was a real crossover. And it was in my own language.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
We bit every single network here in the United States. So they were like the Americanos. You know, we're like, oh my God, what is this? Because we were beating every single
TV show. Yeah.
Yes. In that spot of time. So for me, that was, I was very proud of it because, okay, maybe I can do the crossover in my own language still. And that is even better, you know?
Yeah.
It's been pretty interesting. But to go back to what we were saying, when I got here 23 years ago, they didn't want to hear my accent. The accent that you're listening right now, which is my regular accent, they could not listen to that. Nobody read subtitles back then. There was no Netflix. There was no other, the United States were like, they were only used to watching their own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so they were lazy in a way that they didn't want to read subtitles. Now it's a whole other world, which is amazing for me as an actress, because now they listen to my accent. They understand it. They open their ears literally to listen to different accents, which I think is amazing. But I'm still invisible. Mm. My community is still invisible in my industry. We're not there. We're not having great roles for Latinas there. You know, there's not a lot of Latinos out there. There's a lot of Black people. The African-American community is amazing. They've done so well, and they've done everything right. But us, we're still invisible, you know, and we're getting deported.
Yeah.
You know, all the people that leaves here so much money, which, by the way, it was ours.
Yeah.
You know, this part, at least this part of America, of the United States.
Yeah.
It was ours.
Yeah.
So, and now it's just so everything is so crazy. Part of being in the United States is this freedom of speech and this amazing thing that they have, that you just go out and forget about New York, which is amazing. But here you go to Beverly Hills and you hear different accents. And I think that's, this is what is beautiful about this country. You know, and now it's not, no está tan bueno, you know, yeah. It's not that good anymore. We're going backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so unfortunate because there's so much opportunity to tell these stories. And I'm with you. I mean, it's hard because it's not just in entertainment. I mean, it's across the board. You know, we see it in wellness all the time. It's like what I was telling you when I was first mm-hmm. teaching, you know, I was the only person that looked like me teaching, yeah. You know, it's like, I think that there is a big gaping hole in entertainment still with not having Latina specifically roles that aren't either, you know,
la puta, la sirvienta. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's fine. We can be that.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. You know? But yeah. we can be that. We want to work.
Yeah.
It's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It's not funny sexualizing Latinas.
Yeah.
At all. Objectifying them.
Yeah.
It's not right. It's not right anymore. It's not funny anymore. It's just not right.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, so you have your own production company.
Yes.
Chola Wood, uh-huh. Which I love. I'm obsessed with the name.
Uh-huh.
So you have made this a crusade of yours, I would imagine, to like create more of these types of I want to say stories, to be able to tell stories in a different way. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. I decided that I had to do something because I wasn't getting the roles that I wanted. It was always,
yeah,
you know, this or that. And I'm like, we are so much more than that, you know? O sea, Latinas, we are so much more than that. We're not only this or that, you know? So, and on the other hand, well, I had a little problem back then with the Chapo, the whole thing, the Chapo,
yeah, yeah.
Chapo problem, however you want to call it.
Yeah, it was a situation which, by the way, was so shitty because I remember when Tori and I, we watched the documentary and mm-hmm. I was just like, why is it that Kate is the one that's getting fucked over here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's clear. It was very clear. It was a very black and white experience.
It was.
And it's like, and the guy involved.
The guys, there were three.
Okay. The men that are involved, nothing seemed to happen to them, really.
No.
And it's like, you got persecuted for this. Mm-hmm. In so many ways, right?
In so many, I couldn't go back to my country for, I don't know, 3 years.
Yeah, because you were under investigation, right?
Yes,
or something.
No, they
would
arrest me. I have a order of arrest in Mexico. It was horrible. I mean, that's a whole new thing. If you want to know more, watch the documentary on Netflix, The Day I Met El Chapo, is called. It's a very interesting thing because it's just so unfair, everything that happened. And then somebody told me I was collateral damage. And if something happened to me down there because I didn't have the thing that they did as a journalist, I would have been collateral damage if they kill me. And now I know that. This is a whole other story. I have to do another documentary about that, but about the things that I know right now, because back then it was an ongoing investigation.
Yeah.
And I was still very afraid and I still didn't know exactly what was going to happen to me. But now that I know, there's so much info there but at the end of the day, I only can say that I was literally collateral damage. So that happened. I couldn't work. Nobody wanted to work with me. My insurance, you know, in the industry, like by SAG and everything went up. Of course, and because they didn't know if they were going to take me or not. So nobody wanted to give me a job. And so that happened. And that's why I was like, oh, my God, I need to create my own thing because I don't know how to do anything else. I've been an actress for my entire life. My dad is an actor. Yeah. We don't have any other business. We have no other business. Like, that's all we have done, you know? So I need to do it by myself. I'm not going to wait for anybody to call me or anything. So we created, my friends and I, because my partners were investigated too. They're my friends from many years. And we're very smart women, you know, that we know about the industry. We've been in the industry for years. And we're like, why are we sitting here? Just wait. We have to do something. And they grew up in East LA. Yes, I know. So they grew up in East LA and they're very, very proud of it. I grew up in Mexico and I say, Miss Cholas. And they say, no, you are the la Chola Grande, you know? And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. I'm happy to be because we named it Chola Wood because I think sometimes Cholas get a bad connotation. Like it was something that, and I think they're very amazing women, resilient, and they have to live in this neighborhood, you know, which is, and no one better than you knows. And to be who you are right now, I think, I mean, you should be part of La Cholas. Jump me in.
Yes. I'm in.
Yes, you know, so we've been struggling for many years and it's always a struggle. You know, everybody thinks that I'm a very, you know, I don't know that I were, and I do. I cannot complain. Of course I don't complain, but it's been hard. It's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't take anything for granted, but this is
sort of like my point, and it's actually something I didn't know that it would come up or not, but like my point in saying that you've done so much. Like I literally grew up watching your novelas, like, and I've seen your career and like, I'm a fan. Everything you do has such depth. And even with like, these roles are what you're getting, you know, booking, you still have such a grand tapestry of incredible work. Like, why is it then that it's like, you're having this conversation about like, I still have to work this hard, even at the place you are in your career, with your experience, with everything that you've done, with your following, with your fans, and you're still like, I have to create something for myself.
Yes.
I have to build something because this industry is not set up to support somebody like me.
Absolutely. And I have to work harder. As you know, not only because I'm a woman,
yeah,
but because I'm Latina, you know, I mean, it's crazy, yeah. But we do. It's exhausting. I'm exhausted. I don't know about any.
Oh my God, no,
you, but I think I'm really exhausted. I wish I could have, you know, a day that I don't go, oh my God, what's coming next? Is this and that? What am I going to do tomorrow? What and that? Like that is like hell. Oh, of course, my hair is falling. Hell yeah. Of course I have vertigo and all these stupid things. That's why it's just probably it's only tension. I have no idea, but it keeps me going. Yeah. And I'm very happy about whatever I've done since I came here. And I'm very proud of what I've done and my decisions, you know, and I love it. It's just not easy.
Yeah.
And probably that's why I love it more because it tastes better when it's hard to get.
Yeah. I'm all about the sort of working for it. I know you asked earlier when we started chatting, you're like, how long have you been doing this? And I'm like, I've been doing it for 10 years. And it feels like every other day I'm reading articles about people that just started 6 years ago and they're getting like $120 million deals on Sirius. And I'm just like, what? How? And look, I'm not them. They're not me.
Absolutely. And there's everything for everyone.
Yeah. I
mean, there's jobs for everybody. And that's fine. It's like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
What is it that is it me? Is it just start questioning yourself so many things?
Yeah.
Why? I'm talking about amazing things that I would listen to my podcast. You know, it's like, what am I doing wrong? And to be honest, I think I don't have a response, an answer for that, but I think because there's only or mostly white men in las cabezas, you know, mm-hmm, head mm-hmm. of all this,
yeah.
you know, that they are in charge of the narrative.
Yeah. Well, it's like all the top, you know, even just like in film or even in just the world of podcasts, like say, you know, this, I'm really focused right now on doing, you know, having these conversations. It's very female centric. You know, I think it's a very important conversation to have. And even looking at, you know, the top podcasts in health or in culture, and it's all men. And it's like, and some of these people are my friends and I've known for many years, and it's not a slag on them. But then you look at the majority of the demographic that's consuming them, and it's mostly women, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, why aren't we then supporting each other in this space too, right? So then there's also that. There's so many components where it's like, okay, I'm looking at the industry and what's happening. How can I then uplift my fellow woman, Latina, mm-hmm. women of color? Like, how can we then work as a unit to help support each other's art, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I wish I have an answer for that, you know, because I've been trying to. And I think we need more women. And I'm first step, women. Second step, Latinas.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. In these positions, because only like that we can change narratives. It's like, for me, it's like, with an agency or a manager, it's like, okay, no, yes, I'm Latina, but I can do whatever. I can be whoever.
Yeah.
You know, do not put me in that box and don't take, I go and meet this Latino, and I don't need to meet more Latinos. I know my Latinos friends. I know them all. They all know me. That's why I'm here, to know somebody who's not Latino, you know? And I want to tell story, because with my company, it's always like, okay, so what Latino story do you have for us? And I'm like, no, I don't have Latino stories for you. I have amazing, fucking great stories for you, which happen to be told by a Latina. You know, or I'm not playing characters in all my things, but produced by Latinas,
yeah.
But it doesn't mean it has to be a Latino something,
yeah.
Because then you're stereotyping yourself, yeah. And it's not right. But it's every day we have these meetings, Zoom meetings or whatever meetings. They're mostly men. That we need to explain ourselves why. And especially, you know what? I was not going to go there, but I will.
Let's do it.
Women my age. Hmm. Forget it. Of course, it's not sexy to say I have 50. I think, or 52. I think it's super sexy to be 52 and feeling like I feel. I don't know how I look, but I feel super bien.
You look hot.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Why? It's not sexy for you, asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know for, and I'm not looking to your approval.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not sexy being menopausica. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, but I am. And I tell it out loud always. Yes, I say it out loud, my age, and that I'm menopausica. Please open the doors because I'm having hot flashes. Anybody has a problem with that? Sorry. You know, it's like, come on. How old are you?
Yeah. And that's, I think, part of the what I need. I think needs to be a part of the conversation is like this idea of taking up space and arriving and just commanding that presence of, okay, this is who I am. This is my story. And this is what I have to say. And I have a voice, and my voice matters.
Absolutely.
You know,
and everybody's voice matter. It's just, for us, it's been very hard. And again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it should be different, a little bit different now, because this was okay 25 years ago when I got to here, you know? But now? Are you kidding? Nothing has changed.
So nothing has changed. You don't think?
Or very little. Very, very little. But I'm still getting those characters, you know, those roles of esto, el otro. And I'm like, you know how many? And de verdad, I had to reject, because this is, everything that they send me is narcotraficantes, you know, and I'm still working as one in a show, but you know, but it's different. At least it's a high end one,
right?
You know, at least she went to Harvard, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'm getting bored.
Yeah.
Of course, if I could, if I wanted to work, I would be doing a lot of stuff. It's just I have some dignity right now and I have a long career. I can say no.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what I've worked my entire life for.
Yeah.
So
is there a role that you look back that you're like, oh, I wish I could have played that, or maybe something that you're like, oh, I really want to do this? Or is there a role where you feel like my next role, I want to be able to play this character?
No, you know, there's so many amazing stories out there. I don't accept anything if it's not a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do meaningful things. I don't care if it's a big budget movie, indie movie. I don't care. I just want to make things and do movies that I am proud of. And I've done so many that I'm not proud of, you know, because I needed to work. And I did, yeah, you know, commercials, and I did a lot of stuff that I didn't want to do, but I had to pay the bills because I don't know how to do anything else, you know?
Yeah.
So there's many things. I mean, for example, I would love to play a character in Marvel. You know, Marvel for me is super. I love action. You know, I love action. Yeah, yeah. You know, but hell yeah, they're going to have a Latina my age as a superhero. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. You know?
I don't know. Maybe we could send this to Marvel. Hello, Marvel. If you're there.
Yeah, right?
We have somebody for you. Okay. Thanks.
You know, it's just hard. And we have to do something about it. What I'm saying, if we cannot just be sitting there and waiting for someone to change something. No, you have to change the things, your own.
How do you feel about, like, the way that the world has changed now? I'm with you. I love, you know, going back to analog. I like doing things. I like feeling things.
I know, me too.
You know? Yeah. We're not that world anymore.
No, hell no. It's scary. This whole thing with AI.
Yeah.
Scary. For actors, it's really scary. For everything. Like the other day, I was like, hey, what's her name?
Chat or Siri.
Siri, Alexa, whatever the hell her name is. It's like, I want to write a script about this and that. And in 2 seconds, she wrote a script. I didn't read the whole thing, but probably it's not that bad. So people can do that and just be lazy.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. And not only that, that's a stupid, I mean, example, but that happens. So anybody can come with and say, I'm a writer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how are you going to know? I'm a writer. Here's the script. And pay me, I don't know, whatever. When people have been working their asses off to write a script for years. This is just an example, but it's really scary.
Yeah, it is. But don't you think that there's like the soul that's missing? I can sense, absolutely, you know, like there is a difference, you know. I'm seeing a lot of it right now, especially, you know, in my world, and you know, I'm in the world of wellness, and I'm also kind of in this transition where I'm trying to figure out where I fit in. You know, it's like I decided to go back to school to get my master's in clinical psychology. I don't know that I want to be a therapist, but I really wanted to just get my degree, you know, because I feel like I've worked so hard doing what I do, you know, working in wellness and all of this stuff. And I have a really great job and I get to do really cool things and talk about really fun topics that I love to talk about. And I love to be able to bring information to everyone, you know, mm-hmm, as I'm learning. But at the same time, you know, going back to what you're talking about, like the AI, it's just like, it feels like to me that the value in actually building something and doing something from scratch is sort of disappearing.
Absolutely.
You know?
You said the right word, soul.
Yes.
It lacks of soul. I absolutely understand. The thing is that not everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. You know, people does not appreciate any more art. You know, reading a book, having it in your hand. I cannot read a book if it's on an iPad. I can't. So, you know, all those things and all those things that we enjoyed. Bueno, yo es Latina, my age. Can you imagine how I played outside my house And it was so amazing that nobody knows right now. I mean, at least not these new generations.
Yeah.
And you know, it's only, and we cannot stay behind. That's the worst thing. We cannot stay behind, but we can still put our souls in it. Of course, a script can be good, but it could be soulless, you know?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of these movies for the Oscars and this and that because I'm part of the Academy. And I'm seeing everything. And some things are like terribly, and they're there, you know, and they're lack of total soul. And there's others that are so small and so beautiful, you know, indie movies with a lot of that are honest. I'm writing a book. I mean, I already wrote a book about my first marriage, but I'm directing now. Now we, after 20, I don't know, I wrote it 20 years ago, probably. And it was originally a screenplay. And then I made it a novel. But now I am ready to go back again and I'm rewriting it and I'm going to be directing it. So I'm very excited because it's my own thing.
That's exciting.
And I know it inside out. But and I, like I say, I don't know how it's going to do, if it's going to do well or not, but it's going to be a very honest movie for sure. And sometimes you just need that.
Yeah.
Not the money. Not it has to be an honest movie.
Yeah. Yeah. You're speaking straight into my heart because I feel like that is so important. And I feel like that's part of what is missing just in the world right now, because we're getting the world, even through like social media, it's through a filter. Rarely do we actually get to see the reality of the world, even the things that we post, right? It's a highlight reel of some event or something that's happening, or we're seeing somebody, some influencer or somebody using filters. And again, you know, I've talked about this before. You do your thing however you want. Like I'm good with, you know, with all of it. I love using filters too. Mm-hmm. But it's like we are missing something. Like there is that honest, like there's just like there's something that's missing. And I know for me, like I love to write. I've loved writing ever since I was little, you know. And so like writing my book was a huge feat for me. You know, this is pre-chat. You know, I wish I would have had chat GPT, you know, to help me. I probably would have done it a lot quicker. But you know, the thing that I, you know, it's like I would be lying if I didn't say, like, of course I wanted it to be a bestseller. Like, of course I want to be on a list. Of course I want to be chosen. Right? Of course. But also I couldn't write something with the intention of like, oh, I'm writing this because I want it to be a bestseller. It's like, I'm writing this because it's true. I'm writing it because it's true. You know?
That's what you need. Mira, ahorita con all these people, rich people, not rich, that's an understatement. Billionarios, billionaires.
The big
you
money.
See them and they're soulless. They don't even know how to spend their money. They don't even have life to spend their money or their kids or their grandkids or their grandkids. That's how wealthy they are. And it's totally soulless. Is that a word, soulless?
Soulless, yeah. It's a word, of course.
And, you know, before I was afraid to do interviews in English because what if I miss a word? And I don't care anymore. If you know it, good. If you don't, then Google it. I will say it in Spanish.
Say it in Spanish and then they'll just learn a new word in Espanol.
And sometimes I just make up words. That's why I'm saying, is that a word? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So what was I saying about this? All these people that you see all the time and creating robots and creating, which I think technology, wow, yeah, I clap. But the thing is that at the end, they don't use it in a good way. Why don't they use that money to do good when so many people are dying?
Yeah.
When some, you know, on the other hand, they're doing a robot who it will never have the soul of, and I don't know. It's just for me, that's scary in a whole other level.
But do you think that I'm with you? I'm 100%. I agree with you. I think it's scary. I think if I think about it, there's so much that, to me, I just go to the place of, like I was saying, when kids are not having the experience of actually getting their hands dirty and actually doing something tactile, like something that you can, I feel like we have all of these senses because we need to use them, because we need to feel, we need to have the experience, we need to be with people. We need to not just have relationships online. We need to like go and be part of the world, be part of the community.
Touch is keen and smell.
Yes.
And everything.
And I just think that with technology, I think it's like everything else, right? It's a tool. And back in the day, they would say when radio came out, oh, we're not going to be able to have community anymore. The radio is going to rot your brain. TV is going to rot your brain, yeah, you know? Yeah. And yeah, so I'm looking at AI and all these things that are coming out as something like it's a tool, right? Mm-hmm. Like a plancha, like an iron is a tool. It could burn you. You put it on your skin, but if you use it right, it can iron your clothes. Absolutely. You know,
my whole point, I mean, and I'm not against, revolution in a way that in a technical way, technical revolution. I am all up to, but the thing is that they're not using it right because there's bad people out there that they use it not for good. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and also the kids, they are so ensimismados in themselves all
so
the time
much.
That they don't see. Yeah. They don't look at each other. They hate silence. They forget about reading a book. I mean, it's just like so sad.
Yeah.
And of course, and probably right now, because it will be a revolution and it will change a lot and then it will settle and bring all the goodness. I really hope for it. But it's going to take a long time.
Well, yeah, look at all the statistics of everybody, like all these kids. And I'm curious too. It's like you decided to not have kids, right? Yeah. And that was a choice, like conscious choice. You were like just not.
Yeah, I didn't know when I got married the first time. I was 20, I think I was 24, something like that. And I was never in my head wanted to have kids. But, you know, as a Mexicana, you know, it was the next step is to get, you know, pregnant. Right. And then I just didn't want it to have them back then because I knew something was wrong inside of me. I knew, my God, that something was wrong off with this guy. And but then I realized that I didn't want to. And then I married again later on. And this guy, all he wanted was to have kids. And I told him before, I don't want to have kids. Why? And no, I thought you were going to change your mind. Now, why would I change my mind? This is a deal breaker. Like, and he's an amazing dad, which I applaud. You know, I just never had the urge, I know I have the instinct because I'm very protective. I'm super protective. And I know I would have been a great mom. I just always cared more about me. And I know people might say it's selfish, and selfish sometimes has this, well, not sometimes, all the time has a very bad connotation as something bad. And I think being selfish is one of the first things you have to be in life in order to be able to love somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to be an actress. And I didn't have, by the way, when I was a little girl, I was a tomboy. I didn't play with muñecas and vamos a cambiar it, the mommy. And I hated it, you know? So I never had that thing for it. Never. I don't know why. And now I congratulate myself that I didn't, I never wanted, and I stood up for myself when my partners, whatever in life, they wanted to have kids, most of them.
And you were like, no.
No, no way.
I really admire that because I feel like, especially in the culture that we're in, it's such a thing, right? Like it becomes, especially being Mexican, like,
see,
you know? I mean, that was a huge feat for me to overcome too. It was like, oh, how come you guys, especially Tori and I, you know, we've been together for like 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how come you guys don't have, ¿por qué no tienen, oye, por qué no, y cuándo van a tener hijos? And it's just like, obviously we went through that fertility journey, but if I'm really honest here, the only reason I was doing it was because I felt like I was getting older and I just didn't want to like miss the train, you know, but it was like, if I really wanted to be a mom and if I really want to be a mom, I can be a mom. I can adopt. I can get an egg donor. Yeah, yeah.
If you really want to, you know, you're ready.
But there is something within me that I feel like I really need to ask myself the question, like, what does that mean to me? Mm-hmm. And the biggest sign to me was when I asked myself, if I could be a mom right this second, would I do it? And my answer was always like, not right now. Like, yeah, not right now.
I think you're never ready to be a mom.
You know?
But you know, it is so nice that you're honest like that because sometimes we're so pressured. I was going to be a mom. If everything was good with my husband, the first one, I would have, now I would have been a mom of a, I don't say 20-something guy or girl, you know, which I most probably would love and kill for him or her. And that's fine. I just realizing that I know. Thank God I didn't do it. Thank God. So I've been constant with my feeling and that's good. But let me tell you something. There was a moment with my good friend, Jessica, and she's like, let's go and see how much does it cost to los huevos, to freeze our eggs. And I'm like, but I don't want to have kids. And she was like, I'm talking about, I don't know, probably 10, 15 years ago. But what if the right guy comes and maybe then you want to have, you know, a little personita with him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I doubt it, but okay, let's go. Because I didn't want to be 50 and say, shit, now I regret it. You know, in a, there was a moment in my life that I said that, and we went to the, and they were like, no, you're super fertile, both of you, get out of here. And then, and it was super expensive too. And I'm like, let's go and still take care of ourselves because if not, we're going to get pregnant then, you know? So we better, and then I never, ever try to do it again. And I'm happy with it. And then I see the world and then I see so many things and I say, oh my God, thank God. Thank God. Because I'm very responsible and I would kill for my, probably I would be a super protective mom, which is horrible because then I see that now the new generations, they're made of crystal.
Yes.
They're so, they don't give them tools. You know, I always told my parents, I wish you would have given me tools to go out y partirme la madre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you always told me life was color de rosa, was pink, and there was going to be a blue prince coming to, and it's not like that. So if you would have given me enough tools, probably I wouldn't have gotten through toda mi vida por lo que pasé, you know, in so many ways. And now I think they don't give them tools at all.
Yeah.
And they're confused. And they are like, you know, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Well, and everything affects them. And then they so overprotect them. And I was like, I watched The Exorcista when I was your age. Don't, like, please. You know, the girl says something, contestale, say something back.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like, but now it's just so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so true. And the crazy thing is that it's impacting us because these kids are now growing up and they're in the workforce and now they're making decisions. Mm-hmm. And it does become a very difficult environment to be in if you've never had to experience obstacles or conflict in your life. If you've been protected your entire life. I was just having this conversation with Tori and I'm like, you know what's crazy? We were having this conversation about the scenario. So he's a designer, right? And so he has somebody that he's working with right now that just kind of has, I don't know, he's 52 as well. And so he comes from a different school of thought, you know, different training, you know, like you apprentice with somebody and you sort of learn the ropes of a craft. He makes leather accessories, belts and watches and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, he's had his time to mentor people and sort of, you know, mm-hmm. And so right now, there's somebody he's mentoring, and he's younger. You know, he's in his 20s, closer to 30. And he was telling me this, you know, they're having this conversation about this design. And so this, you know, his mentee, I guess we'll call him, just kind of goes out and says, no, like that, I don't know, like, I don't really like the way that you're doing this, blah, 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 blah. And he's fine with it. But to me, I'm like, I would never talk to my mentor like that. Like, I would never, somebody that's, he's been doing this for 30 years. Like, the man knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? It's like telling you, it's like somebody coming, you have an apprentice. Kate Del Castillo has an apprentice. And you say, I'm going to give you a suggestion for this novela role because I got some experience, you know? And she goes, no, I don't think that's right. I don't think I'm going to do it like that. It's like, what? Yeah. Like, you need to sort of have the humility. That was my point. My point is, as well as what you're saying, the fragility of people, younger generation, sorry, not sorry. There's also this bit about learning the humility that people aren't getting, right? Like, to me, when he said that to me, I was like, oh. Because he was really affected by the fact, he's like, yeah, like maybe this design is not good. And I'm like, no. First of all, don't question yourself. Mm-hmm. And number two, there are better ways to give feedback rather than just say, oh, I don't think that's good because blah, blah, blah. It's like, first of all, I've been doing this for longer than you've been alive. There's no respect, right? There's no respect. There's no humility. There's no, again, it's like, what I say to him, and this is a conversation we've been having a lot, we had to earn every single thing that we've got. We can't just ChatGPT a resume, put it up on LinkedIn and get hired for a job. Like, we had to actually do the work, get the job, put the time in and do it. Like, we didn't Google it. We earned it, right? And I think that going back to your point of like the AI stuff or just, you know, like the sort of where we're going in our society, I think that says a lot about, you know, like where we need to put our energy into, you know, as opposed to like, okay, this generation's hopeless and good luck to us and it's all going to hell in a handbasket. I think it's more, how could we begin to show or teach the younger generation to have, I don't even want to say more humility because it, like, people will get offended at that. Like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I'm humble. And it's like, no, you're not. You know what I mean? It's like Kendrick Lamar says, like, sit down, be humble. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's just, I was raised differently. You know, I was raised to respect people. I was raised to put the work in, you know? It's like, if I want to get to your level, I want to know the steps you took from the beginning. Like, people that see success, you know, like somebody might look at your career and be like, oh my God, look what she's doing. Oh, she's got her own production company. She's doing this. She's writing roles. She's writing a novel. She's going to write, you know, like these really incredible stories. And she has it all. Like, I could do that, you know, and it's like, but did you go through this really tumultuous relationship? And have you gone through struggles in your career? Have you done all the things? And like, well, we've not even talked about all the shit that you've probably been through as a woman, as a Latina, in your career within every project you've done. You know?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, but you know, when I remember when I was a teenager, I thought I was entitled to my own opinion and that I was, you know, so I just think it's, and I want to think that because I try to keep positive that they are going through, as I'm going through menopause right now, they're going through, in Spanish, it's adolescencia.
Yeah.
Adolescent. You know, So that's what's going on. So they are going through a lot of stuff, hormonally speaking, and they think they're entitled and they think they know everything. And I'm talking about teenagers. And I love teenagers. I mean, I love teenagers, but because they remind me of how stupid I was, which is part of the fascinating part of being a teenager.
True. It's true.
You
yeah.
know, it's like would you like to go back to being a teenager with what you know right now? Hell no, because it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah.
You know, you would be too conscious of everything, and that's part of life.
Yeah.
And not until, and I'm telling you, I'm 50 and I still think that I'm so young that I need to learn so many other things, you know, because life is about learning. And if you are not able to open your heart, your mind, your ears, everything to learn from the people you have around, then you have no idea what life is about. You know, you have to learn from the people you have next to you. And even if it's wrong, you will decide, oh, that is wrong. That is, I don't like that, because you have a moral. I have a different moral.
Yeah.
But there are principles, you know. You're not going to kill someone, of course. You're not going to steal, of course. But always listen to your people that surround you, because they might have something interesting to say. And then you will make your own. It's like for actors, it's like going to all this, you know, techniques of acting. There's so many yeah. of them. It's like it's not just one. I get everything from all of them that helps me, Kate, particularly me. And then I go act. I don't know if it's the best or not, but it works for me. But I not can only be just one thing, you know. So and that's life, you know. You take what you want from people that you think, oh, I like the way he dresses. I like the way she speaks. I like the way he thinks. I like the way Nana. And then you're doing your own personality, creating your own personality, but you don't have a personality yet at 15.
Yeah.
You know, you don't. You have to, and then you have to work for whatever you're going to do, because Googling, it's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. And plus, there's so many fake news out there
yeah,
that you don't even true. Know. You turn on Instagram or TikTok and you don't know. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, Myanmar something. And he's like, oh, fake news. And I'm like, oh my God. Thank God. You know, I'm like, something happened horrible.
Yeah.
You know? You never know if it's fake or not. But first you have to do your work, your homework. You know, and now it's so easy. My nephew, he's 24. And he would never pick up a book. And I'm like, why don't you read? And he's like, oh, because whatever I want to know, I Google. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's not about knowing only. It's about the precious thing of having a book in your hands.
Yeah.
They don't care. So sad.
I'm like, oh, my God.
And probably we're just complaining about all of them. They're amazing teenagers, amazing people
yeah,
out
of
there.
Course.
But what I'm saying is I don't think technology right now is helping much, because it's yeah. separating them from physical thing and physical touch
yeah.
in so many ways.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm with you 100%. Yeah, I don't want to feel like we're slagging on the teenagers here. No. We love the teens. We just want you to learn
yes.
better.
And we learn from them too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like they're so, you know, como se dicen, spontaneous.
Yeah,
they're so, you know, no están maleados. They're yeah. they're naive. They're
yes,
and that's beautiful.
Yeah, because it's like we get to a point, even just talking about the career stuff, right? Like there is a jadedness that happens. We get sometimes hard, or we feel like, oh, I don't want to try that because it didn't work, so it doesn't matter. Oh, I don't want to reach out to this person, they're probably gonna say no, you know. Yeah. It's like that uh-huh. whole thing. And
totally, we're too conscious sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And we sometimes, you know, take ourselves out of something that could be a really good experience because we do that, you know. Okay, so I want to be respectful of your time. I love that I've not asked any of these questions at
what
all.
What other questions?
I have? Do have just one, mm-hmm. and oh my God, so many. There's so many things. I literally can talk to you forever here. Okay, so I guess just to wrap up, because we had a lot of different points in this conversation, but my whole point, the whole reason of why I started this podcast was because I wanted to have these conversations. I wanted to talk about wellness. I wanted to talk about health. I wanted to talk about women's issues. I wanted to talk about things like aging, that story about like menopause not being sexy. Oh, so dumb. I'm curious for you where you are right now in your life. What do you see as wellness or even living a life well?
Listen, I've been through so much in so many ways, and I'm not victimizing myself at all. I'm saying this because there was a point that I couldn't even see myself in the mirror because I wouldn't recognize me. I would see myself and I said, that's not me. I look terrible, not only physically, in every single way. I had no respect for me. So I think one of the things that I know when everything came back, which by the way, it was still there. It was always there. I just didn't see it because I was going through a black tunnel and I didn't see the light. The light was always there. You know, I think it's respect for yourself. And for me now, I can see myself in the mirror and there's tres cosas que it's not in my vocabulary, which is failure, because I don't think you fail. You just have another experience in your life that you learn from. You know, sacrificio, I've never sacrificed anything because I'm not la Madre Teresa de Calcuta. You know, I have taken decisions that might affect something else, or not someone else. It's just I decided to do this instead of doing that for some reason. And the reason was my career. And I do not regret that. And this regret is the other one, you know? So I don't, because they, thank God there have been decisions that I've taken. The others that I didn't take, or things and situations that they were not in my hands, that's a different thing, you know? But I always have the option. And I decide which way to go. So for me, those three words are important. For me, being able to see myself in the mirror and respect myself, that's all. So we must do anything that is on our hands to respect ourselves, not to be liked by your partner or your girlfriend or your boyfriend partner or your parents or your kids, because there's no way you can love someone if you don't love yourself. And I know that a lo mejor se dice mucho this, but I cannot say it enough. If you don't love yourself, every single part of yourself, because the best relationship and the longest relationship you're going to have is with yourself. So you have to wake up and say, I love who I am. I love what I am. Thank God for everything you've given to me, for the woman that I am, for everything. And also take care of yourselves. Health is everything. I've been, honestly, this vertigo has turn me upside down. It's like, when is it going to go? Because they don't know. Nobody knows anything. The tinnitus, yes, I can live with the tinnitus, not with the vertigo if it's that bad. So I have to take care of myself. And I've always eaten right. I've always, I love, you know, working out. It's been my thing for my entire life. So I think I've done well, you know, and not well for anybody else. I don't care what you think or he thinks or my mom thinks. Well, for me, what's good and right for me. As I said, we all have different morals. And that's what makes you wake up and see yourself in the mirror. To follow your morals and to follow and to be consistente, you know, and to be congruent. Congruent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, I think that's what for me has worked, but it's taken me 52 years. Almost. Almost. But it's not easy. I want to give some, you know, esperanza out there. Sorry. But but it's hard. But at the end of the day, it's not hard because we have the options there.
Yeah.
You know, so just look out for you and do whatever the hell you want to do, because life goes so fast. And then you are like, shit, I decided this because my mom told me to, or because my best friend told me to, and this and that. And then you're just in a box of doing things and having a life that you didn't want to, or that you would have done everything completely different. But your boyfriend, you know, told you this was better, or to follow him, you follow him. And you know, it's just look out for yourself, because love is going to be there all the time. If it's the right person, it will come. It will come, you know. And for me, I've been making bad decisions in my life about men, you know. And right now I find myself with someone 10 years, 11 years younger than me, you know, who's amazing, who has kids already, 9 and 6.
Oh, great.
Which is perfect for me, you know, because he doesn't want to have more kids. I didn't want to have kids. They don't live with me. So when I see him, I have a blast because they are amazing kids. You know, so do the right things. You know, if I want to be an actress, I'm going to follow that dream because that's my dream. I'm not going to go and sell shoes if I want to be an actress. You know what? Those things, you have to be congruent with yourself and don't give up. I know it's a lot. It's a lot and it's not easy, but the easy things, they don't last. Hmm. And you cannot sabotage them, yeah. You know, in life. So that's what, in my own experience, have worked for me, and I'm happy. And I find myself also, I don't give him for granted. He's and I'm talking about love, you know, my partner, my boyfriend, he's going to be there the time he needs to be there. And if it's forever until I die, that's perfect. If it's not, that's also good. And I will be always thankful for this relationship that I have. But I don't ask for him anything. I don't expect. First of all, I don't expect anything from him. So everything he does and gives me, it's a, yeah, thank you. It's like, oh my God, I didn't expect it. So thank you so much. I don't expect anything. And I keep my life going on. I'm not needy. I don't need anyone. I've never needed anyone. Sometimes we think we need, but we don't need anyone. I'm enough. I don't need anybody. I want to have a partner. I want to have kids. I want to have whatever you is what yeah. you want, but you don't need to. It's very different.
Yeah. Literally. I'm like, we just got a sermon right now from the preacher Cata del Castillo. Hello. Where can people go to connect with you?
Oh, thank you. Well, my Instagram, Kate del Castillo. My TikTok is Real Kate del Castillo, and I think that's all.
That's it.
I have, yes.
Which one's your favorite? Which one do you like to hang out on the most?
I also have Cholawood official. I'm sorry, I'm very bad with this. There's so many things.
We'll find it. We'll put it in the show notes.
So I'm mostly on Instagram, you know. Yeah. Kate del Castillo, just as it is, and yes. That's all.
I just want to thank you for all the work that you've done. I mean, if you really think about it, the impact of your work, like, we're sitting here together because I grew up watching you.
I love it.
And it's like the trajectory even of my life. Like, think about how your art impacts the world. And I know that my story is not unique. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank you for everything that you've done in your life to continue to change lives, millions and millions of lives.
Thank you so much. Well, likewise, you're doing all the right things. You are. Well, just, you know, my book didn't even, I think my mom and I don't know how many others got the book. I'm kidding. It didn't do that well. You know?
Like mine didn't either.
But, right? But there was at least 2 or 3 women that called me and said, thank you for that book, changed their lives. So that for me, that's the most successful, that's the bestseller.
Yeah.
My book for me was a bestseller because I changed the life of someone. So congratulate yourself, because also it's not easy to write a book. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of things. So congratulate yourself. And we are who we are, and it's amazing. I didn't even want to be wealthy, because wealthy people are assholes. They are. That's what I'm seeing right now. They don't use the money for good. You know, I was like, give me just money. I don't even want to keep it for myself. I want to donate to this and that and do nice things. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Do a little bit better.
Okay, on that point, thank you. Thank you again so much for being here and for sharing your time. And thank you all so much for watching.
Thank you.
If you're watching on YouTube, please remember to subscribe.
and leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought and tell us, if you have any questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.